True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenbloom.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Yeah, Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and more to my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
Steve Rosenbloom, Stevie Suckage, Saturday Suckage. I'm here. Let's find out who else is here. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I say something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, do we suck?
Eloy Amele.
Hey, you guys know that I make anyway. You guys not suck. Hey, when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the Suck team.
We hope you get traded from the Suck team. Toby!
Oh my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan. Terry Barnes!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Lim Hendricks!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck. I tell you that, and that's all I can say.
George Wendt.
We had fun, but there you go. I suck.
Garth Algar.
You're off, man. You're off. You're sucking my will to live.
Steve Dahl.
This guy sucks.
Candace Parker.
It sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach LaVine.
It sucks to have a game one.
Tyler Farengol.
I suck, so you don't have to.
No, sorry, that's my job, and neither of us is living up to the Matt Eberchoke level. We are not preventing the Bears coach from being exactly who he is. When people show you who they are, believe them. Why don't people believe that? All right, we'll investigate that later. Welcome to Saturday Suckage. Whoever's here, we suck so you don't have to. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Our phone number here at the Score, 312-644-6767. That'll get you to our listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number, 312-644-6767, also gets you to the Score's text line, where you can wish me a Merry Suckmas the way N847 texter did. Yes, indeed. Welcome to Saturday Suckages Christmas Eve Eve show. It's a thing. My guest will be Mark Grody. 11:25, he covers the Bears for the Score. Habarkish at noon, Score's senior NFL analyst. Olin Cruz at 12:25. He was on the station yesterday, and he'll open your eyes and ears and all that kind of stuff when he talks about the Bears. We'll bring that back to you. Julia Poe at 1. She covers the newly named resurgent Keep Max Levine Away from This Bulls Team. That's their new name. They're applying it. They'll put that in the team charter. They play the Cavs tonight. And even if you don't, you know, like if you didn't know ahead of time, like I'm about to tell you that Donovan Mitchell's out with an illness, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, two other starters already were out, you still would have expected the Bulls to win. I would have. Now it should be a laydown. That's how well they're playing without the guy on whom AK wasted hundreds of millions of dollars. Your next chance to see Connor Bedard scores tonight against the evil, dreaded Blues in St. Louis. Last night, the Hawks gagged a 2-0 lead as if Matt Eberflus was coaching them. And really, he couldn't be much worse coaching the Hawks than he is coaching the Bears. Anyway, Les Canadiens, they beat the Bedards 5-2 in the United Center. Bedard had an assist. Cubs and White Sox apparently are abiding by the NHL's trade freeze that occurs 9 days before and after Christmas. Cubs and White Sox abide by that policy on many other days, too, if it involves acting like a big market team. Also later in the show, my cultural zeitgeist treasure trove, The Dude Abides. Oh my God, they auctioned off the Big Lebowski and some of the things, some of the prices. Oh my God. In WB Club news, Wake and Bakers, you officially have a team to root for in the college football playoff. We'll try to slip in some holiday songs. We had a new Hanukkah song a couple weeks ago, and we'll see if we can slip it in and others. So it's Bears-Cardinals this week. And because it's Bears-Cardinals, we have to do the Bears-Cardinals thing.
4 picks against Grossman and 2 fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? We shut them down that way?
No, the Bears are what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's... We played them in the third game. Everybody played 3 quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thanks, Coach.
I always love the thanks, Coach, at the end. All right, so Bears-Cardinals this week. And the Bears should lose. Not should lose in terms of they have worse talent. Although there are indications they do. Or at least have worse and dumber coaching. But I mean should lose as in they should lose for the good of the franchise, even if the franchise and its owners have no idea what's good for them. Listen, the Bears, the most important thing right now is for the Bears to protect their Panthers draft choice to whatever degree they can protect it. And this week, tomorrow, it is a very great degree to which they can protect it. Inexplicably, the Panthers won last week. They moved to 2-12. That leaves the Bears draft choice 1 game ahead of New England and Arizona, tomorrow's opponent. The good news is, even if the Panthers somehow win another game, and they could because this is the NFL and who knows when the fix is in, the Panthers still have the first draft tiebreaker. That's weakest schedule. they have the weakest strength of schedule. Carolina's strength of schedule is 520. New England's darn close at 528. Arizona's at 571. Strength of schedule. So the Pats are perilously close to owning that tiebreaker. The Pats close out the season playing at Denver, at Buffalo, and at home against the Jets. And I can't see more than one win there. The Panthers play the Packers. They play at Jacksonville, and they close at home against Tampa Bay. The Panthers should lose all three. Well, maybe that's wishful thinking, which would protect the Bears' draft choice, and that's all we care about. But you never know. Carolina beat the Falcons, who are 6-8, and now they play the Packers, who are also 6-8. The Cardinals, meanwhile, tomorrow's opponent for the Bears, they play at the Eagles. They close against the Seahawks at home after they play the Bears. So the Bears seem to be the Cardinals' best chance to win a game. Here's another thing about the Cardinals. They're 3-11, but they have the strongest, they've played the strongest schedule in the conference, 571. But also their strength of victory is the best in the conference. I'm stunned to find that out. 548 is their strength of victory. So they don't win much, but they beat a 10-4 Cowboys team, a 7-7 Steelers team, and a 6-8 Falcons team. So the Bears suck more than a 6-8 team. So I guess you could turn that around and say, well, the Cardinals should be losing to them. But we don't. We want to make sure that the Cardinals win. I mean, the Bears could lose this thing on their own just because they're the Bears, just because of Matt Eberchoke, and that's what they do. So they wouldn't actually have to rig it to protect that number one draft choice as it now stands.
Do we have to root for the Packers to beat the Panthers tomorrow, Rosie?
You don't have to. It doesn't have to be rooting. You can just look for a happy outcome. So the kind of thinking about protecting the draft choice and protecting assets bled into some discussion this week about perhaps not playing Justin Fields, the idea being protect him from injury and keep him tradable at the highest price while the Bears replace him with a quarterback taken first overall, presuming that's where the Panthers finish dead last and they get that draft pick. I mean, the talk didn't come from the Bears, I don't think. But it was a solid line of thought. I mean, teams have certainly protected trade assets that way. We've seen it. But Justin Fields is scheduled to start tomorrow. As far as we know, we'll have Mark Rohde on 11:25. He'll let us know. But maybe there's some fiendishness behind it. I don't know if it's the cynic in me, the conspiracist in me, the sarcast in me. But maybe the Bears want to play Justin Fields and have Matt Eberchoke on the sidelines because they know that's their best chance to lose. We certainly saw that last week, right? They say they want to continue looking at Fields. Well, maybe the subtext is the unsaid part, and I'll say the quiet part out loud. They want to continue looking at Fields' failures in the fourth quarter and the fact that he's a ball security nightmare. And they want to see Matt Eberchoke's fourth quarter failures as well. And when you think about it, that accomplishes two things. You build up the paper trail to fire a man ill-equipped to be an NFL head coach and to trade a man ill-equipped to win a Super Bowl. Later on in the show, I've concluded this week's game plan presents the most fascinating during the Justin Fields farewell tour. I'm going to look at the game plan thinking through a lot of different eyes. How they're going to view the game plan, what it means, what might they do. And it seems like nobody's got the same vision. Possibly nobody's got the same vision. That's so Bears, don't you think? For now, I'll take a break. And when I come back, we will talk to Mark Rohde. Covers the Bears for us. one of the founding members of Saturday Suckage, one of the founding members of the Wake and Bake Club. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage, which accounts for all the Bears talk. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Never gets old. That yell, that guttural sound signals our next guest. Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi, Steve. I actually think today, if I was seeing my Instagram stories correctly and succinctly, I think today is Eddie Vedder's birthday.
How could we even be on the air? How could we even talk sports when all we really need to do is just play Nevermind or whatever that is?
That's Nirvana.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's cool, too. I mean, Nirvana, you know.
Earl J, Everclear. We'll play Everclear.
No. I don't want Everclear. maybe replace your Everclear with an Alice in Chains or a Soundgarden or something like that. Then we got a deal.
Oh, okay. I'm alive.
No, there you go. Alive. Not I'm alive, but just alive would be perfect. So, you know, all these years working together, Steve, and you still can't quite get it right, can you?
It's just Ed. It's your buddy Ed. I don't know any music needs. He doesn't need music. He just needs to stand next to Theo. That's my enduring picture of your buddy Ed. Just standing next to Theo in the suite. Hi.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Or sitting with me in the press box. You know, I think that deserves a little bit of clout as well.
I think you should share that story. It's a very nice, it's a mid-season baseball story, but a very Christmassy thing because it's a present that keeps on giving, I think. I love that story.
Which story, though? Because there's multiple now.
First one because there was the sense of awe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This one goes way back, right? Yeah. This is like prime fanboy. And this was when I was working for WBBM radio. That's how far back this goes. And I'm, you know, at that point, I'm a reporter at large, which means I cover all of our teams wherever I'm needed. And I was needed at a Cubs game. And it was pretty perfect because it was that day that Eddie Vedder was scheduled to sing the seventh inning stretch. And he was going to be in town, obviously, that week. I had a couple of concerts. Yours truly, your boy, had tickets to both shows, as he typically does if Pearl Jam is in town. And I'm up in the press box. I was not going to like go out of my way to bother Eddie Vedder because I just figured it would not work. But I'm walking around in the press box. There's a small cafeteria that all the, you know, employees and media people eat in. I walk past it and I just see Eddie Vedder and his very large bodyguard in there. And I walk past, I'm like, wait a minute here. Is that just Eddie Vedder alone in there? So I did the beep, 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 backed up, and I walked into the cafeteria, and I go up to him, and I just said, I'm wearing my WBBM credential, and I said, hey, Eddie, I just went right up to him. I said, hey, I'm Mark Rohde. I work for WBBM Radio, big fan. And he just kind of, he looks down on my credential, looks up at me, goes, Mark Rohde, WBBM, all right. I'm like, yes,
and, he said and, my name.
Yeah, and then I said, yeah, it's like looking forward to going to both of your shows this week. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm already backing out of the conversation. You know, I'm already like 1 foot. That's enough. That's grandma. Leave this man alone. And then he's like, oh, all right, man. Thanks. He's like, what do you want to hear, man? And I was like, whoa, you're asking me what I want to hear. So, which meant I felt the need to go a little bit B-side, a little bit, hey, I know your catalog, man. A lot of people may not know your catalog. And I said, how about a little Dirty Frank? And he goes, oh, man. He's like, I don't know if we're going to be able to play that. And then I had the gall to be like, why? And
good reporter there.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you're not letting him off the hook. I don't care.
I'm totally in reporter mode at this point. Well, sir, why are you not? Oh, man. He's like, we haven't practiced that song in a long time. You know, these things don't just happen by magic. Apparently, these bands, they actually have to rehearse things for them to actually sound good. And then he goes, okay, all right, what else you want to hear? And I'm like, at this point, I started choking. So I was like, I go, because I didn't want to get rejected again. So I said, how about Alive? And he said, oh, yeah, man, I think we could take care of that for you. I'm like, all right, sick. So, and that was it. That was it. Then I politely walked away. I said, thank you, sir. Look, I will see you. I didn't say see you, but I said, I will be at those shows at the United Center. Goodbye, sir.
There you go. I think that's a wonderful story. That's a Christmas present of it a is. Story shared it by is. Mark Rohde and his buddy Ed. He would come to know better and more often, and that'd be his buddy Ed. Mark Rohde's joining me on the hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. And now we must end the fun and talk about the Bears.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. What do you want? What else you want to know? Wolfer can't cover anybody. What else you want to know, Steve?
Evidently, he can't cover it.
Evidently, Wolfer can't cover. I know this team's capable of winning another game.
Yep.
Ditka.
And they weren't. So, sort of take the temperature this week after what felt like the worst of all three of Matt Eberchoke's record-tying chokes, fourth quarter double-digit leads, to tie an NFL record. And fortunately for him, there's still three games to go, so he could have it all by himself. But after that, which felt worse than ever after all the playoff blather, to me this looked like the worst of the three, but what did you think, and take the temperature of what you saw, felt, heard this week?
Yeah, I thought this one sucked mostly because I thought the defense played spectacularly throughout this game, and they were matching a really good defense. I mean, okay. Going into it, we knew that you were going to have to play some serious defense. Obviously, there was a bad defensive play call by Matt Eberflus towards the end of the game on a 3rd and 15. That did not go well. But honestly, like, part of me, like, I hate that we have to talk about the defense breaking down, because in fact it was the offense that just couldn't take advantage of what the defense was doing for them, and that's happened a lot recently. So I thought, excuse me, that was the most disappointing part about it, and the fact that, you know, Justin Fields and the Bears offense could not answer the Browns at the end of the game, and they had to resort to a Hail Mary. And I understand why they didn't kick the field goal, even though you know, from what we were told this week by Luke Getsy, they thought that the ball should have been spotted 5 yards closer to the end zone, which still would have had them outside of Cairo Santos's kicking range, the monster kick. But still, that has, unfortunately, that is symbolic or thematic of the Chicago Bears organization for far too long, where the defense did all it could all day long and the offense just didn't have enough to finish the game for you. So that was, to me, the most disappointing part about the Cleveland game. I don't put that down necessarily as bad as some of the other chokes, the Detroit game. I think if you really want to put these in order, I mean, I thought that the Denver game was probably the worst, just because excuse me, that was the worst of the teams at the time, and I know Denver has gotten its act together since, but they were not good at that point. They were a disorganized, poor team at the time, and the Bears, that was just like, how did that happen? How is this what, who, where? And I know it's still Russell Wilson, but that they did not have their acts together at that time.
You know, that was Denver's only win in their first six.
Yeah, that too.
And you're right.
Exactly.
They did get their act together. Russell Wilson started playing better. They started playing good. Well, I felt the way it sounded the week before the Browns game, all the big talk coming out of the Bear. I mean, they just...
Yeah.
That's why this felt worse, is if you're ever going to play well, the end of the season's a good time to do it. And so they had comparatively played well, and they talked well, and then it just turned out to be a whole lot of piddling down their leg in a situation like that. But your point about the Bears' offense is, to underscore that, the Browns' defense is, I don't want to say Jekyll and Hyde, but they'll let you know whether you're good or not. Good offenses tore them up. No matter what the Browns' rating is, good offenses got yards and points against them. Bad offenses were asphyxiated. The Bears' offense could not outscore its own defense. That's and its lone touchdown drive went one, count them, 1 yard.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we're just way too familiar with seeing offenses like that the answer isn't there. And, you know, unfortunately for the Bears, it's not just Justin Fields, and yeah, there is plenty of culpability there, but all of a sudden the Bears offensive line is not playing as well as it had in recent weeks. You know, they've had this nice little elevation throughout this, from the beginning of the season to about the middle, when they, you know, I thought they were really at their best. It just happened to be when you had Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis on the right side of the offensive line. You got some great stuff out of Deontay Foreman when Khalil Herbert had his gruesome injury. You know, Roschon Johnson was popping. But all of a sudden, you're just the running game became helpless looking. And you go back and look at some of the negative numbers and negative runs from that game. That's not helping you. And, you know, luckily for the Bears, they're playing a team this week against which you can run the football, in the Arizona Cardinals. But we'll see. And I think that is quietly O-line running game. And I know, like, you know, priority number one is the quarterback and what's going on with Justin Fields. But in the background, a part that looked like a bread and butter part of the team has started to, you know, go down the tubes a little bit. And it's not being helped with Tevin Jenkins, who will not play this week due to a concussion.
I know there's been a lot of criticism directed at Luke Getsy as well as Justin Fields and the head coach, the interim head coach, as it were. So the thing that has always bothered me, we've discussed this on the show, and it bothered me again this week. When you look at the fourth downs they go for, third downs, when they need 1 yard, they have no play. They have no play. They've never improved on having nothing. I expect them to have nothing when Luke Getsy comes in, when there's a new regime and or a new quarterback and or a new running back and new offensive linemen. They don't have a go-to play, the kind of play, we're going to get the yard, you know what's coming, we know what's coming, you can't stop us. And I don't know if Luke Getsy's ever been asked this, but the way he's handled questions at the podium the last couple weeks, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's like he's been resorting to getting, I don't know, tricky. Trickery is probably not the right way to put it. I wouldn't consider jet sweep trickery, but when you have Tyler Scott, you know, you're using Tyler Scott. We saw him in another game use DJ Moore, one successful, one not successful. You know, the fourth and one where Justin Fields was not able to get that first down. And I thought some of that was on Justin Fields not getting to the outside quickly enough. But, you know, when we did go through a lot of, you know, that question did come up. Like, why has that been a difficult thing to come by? And, you know, he did take some responsibility. I mean, I think he has been criticized enough for not taking responsibility that he did invoke himself into it. You know, he hears this stuff, I'm sure. So, he said, we got to coach it better. But, you know, it's always, you know, they got to execute the plays. And they're always, I think the answer that we get is they're always close. They're always, you know, one little chip away, the right block, one step to the outside that they're close. And quite honestly, when we're talking about the tough yardage, the third and ones, the fourth and ones, like it, when it happens as many times as it's happened where you don't execute, there's obviously, you know, some responsibility on both sides of it. But yeah, I mean, come on, it's a super frustrating thing. And, you know, if you don't have just the pure power on your team to get that 1 yard or even less than a yard, then, you know, something has clearly gone wrong.
They had the pure power. Mark Rohde is my guest. He covers the Bears for The Score. We're talking Bears here on Saturday Suckage. The Tevin Jenkins and Darnell Wright combination was you just run behind them and they cannot find. Nobody's ever going to find the running back behind those two guys.
Oh, yeah, by the way, that's what I meant. I think I said Nate Davis.
No.
Darnell Wright.
Yep. I got yep. it, but, yep. but Darnell Wright and Tevin Jenkins. So Jenkins is hurt, and then also on the fourth and one, third and one, we forgot Cole Kmet because he tried it. Everybody gets a chance to run it. You know what? It's like a carnival. You do that. However, those two guys are not going to play this week or are questionable to play. The injury list, as far as it run it down as far as it affects the offensive line, and I think Komet's questionable. Still listed as questionable.
Yeah, he kind of popped up on the injury list this week with the quad injury, and you know that's a guy that has, you know, for better or for worse, and you know this says something about Darnell Mooney, but he's been a guy who has, you know, he's second in targets this year. But I'll just go through the whole list for the sake of people who have no idea what's been going on with the injuries. And you know, first of all, Deontay Foreman questionable for the game, and didn't practice on Thursday, limited Friday, questionable for the game. He's been dealing with a personal issue, so we'll see. Tevin Jenkins, like I told you, is officially out. Cole Kmet, indeed, with that quad injury, probably 50-50, so I'll keep a close eye on him before the game. Mm-hmm. Darnell Mooney, good to go. He's been cleared. DeMarcus Walker is good to go. Equanimeous St. Brown is out again, so you'll continue to miss the great blocking of Equanimeous St. Brown.
Well, it is good, and it is important, because when you brought up Darnell Mooney, it's like Mooney shouldn't have got – no, I'm sorry. You're not part of the team anymore. Leave your jersey here. You can just head home and don't bother coming back after what I saw in the game, and even before he dropped the game winning Hail Mary, and then what he said, the guy, you know, we're falling asleep, which I'm of two minds. Let me know what you are. It may have been true. That's what he saw. He's not the guy who should be saying that after that horrible game. So what did you think about that? And was there, the coach seemed to be a little edgy about that. Was there fallout throughout the week?
Well, I give it credence. I do, like, with Mooney, and part of the reason is because DJ Moore said something similar. So he said it with in the morning with Mully and Haw. Mooney said it, and they both probably used different words to describe a sort of lack of offensive energy. You know, it just was flailing. So both of those guys said it. So I did not have an issue with them saying it. Now, in terms of fallout this week, I have not sensed that, but you know, there were some guys in the locker room who were kind of DeMarcus Walker and Justin Jones, a little bit outspoken, more so than usual about, you know, I don't think they mentioned Matt Eberflus specifically, but they were not pleased with the defensive alignment they were in on the 3rd and 15. What I do know is that there is the leadership council meets on Wednesdays, so if they had a chance to air it out, that was then. Nobody's going to tell us what goes on in those meetings, but my guess is that that's where that kind of stuff was addressed with the defense, you know, with DJ Moore, with Darnell Mooney. All of that stuff was probably aired out. In terms of being able to sense anything in the locker room, not really. No. I mean, they seemed as festive as always, as particularly on Thursday, just because I think everybody's pumped up for the game and for the holiday. But we don't see obviously everything mm-hmm. that is going on. We're in that locker room, you know, 3 days a week for 45 minutes a pop, so we don't know everything that's going down in there. But I imagine that these guys had an opportunity to be very transparent with each other on Wednesday.
Well, I wanted to share this with you as a founding member of Saturday Suckage and the Wake and Bake Club. 773 texter, about to rip a celebratory bong.
There you go.
773 texter, Yuletide Suckage. And Santa Gridiron says, happy belated Sucktivus. How did we not think of Sucktivus, Mark?
yeah, that's spot on.
Yeah, Sucktivus for the rest of us. And so here we are. So I'm trying to get ahead of the... There's always one Twitter follower, one of your tweeples, who says, well, what about Dave? So let's go about Mark Rohde's Christmas and then Dave the Cat's Christmas.
Dave will receive... I depend on my nieces to take care of Dave for Christmas. So he will... I will find out on Christmas Day what they have concocted for him. Last year, he got a house. So that was a pretty big deal. Dave got his own house last year, little box house, a little box Christmas house, which is out right now that he does utilize. So stand by for the Dave gift. For me, he'll probably just get some extra good, delicious food that he doesn't usually get. That's what he'll get from me.
Like what? Are you baking a rack of lamb for him? What are you going to do? You got dog Wellington you're going to prepare for him?
You know what?
Bird Dave, Wellington?
I'll tell you what, Dave. Dave loves him some rotisserie chicken. So we'll get, he likes the drippy fat that comes off of the, like, he likes the
me
bottom
too.
Part, right? Oh yeah. Like the bottom of a rotisserie chicken, all the juices and oils and everything mixing together. That's what Dave is going to get for his Christmas dinner or lunch or whatever he wants to call it.
Well, you answered the 630 texter. Hey, Grody, never mind the Bears. What did you get Dave the Cat for Christmas? Signed, General Confusion. I knew this question would come. In some form or another, Dave the Cat must be accounted for.
Yeah, well, he must be accounted for. The thing is, Dave is, as an only cat, Dave is pretty spoiled, you know? And so that means that every day is kind of Christmas for Dave. Like, Dave lives a really good cat life, but, you know, I'll try to kick it up a little bit for him on Christmas.
815 texture, this one will be near and dear to your heart. Spending the day rolling 20-plus joints for my long week of Christmas travels. WB, save me from my family.
it sounds like he's taking care of it. If he's rolling joints, you can enter your own world upon puffing.
Always good to have a plan. All right, Mark. So you'll be here tomorrow, right? Won't you be here tomorrow?
Yeah, I guess I will. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve, isn't it? I will be at the Bears game. Yeah, so I will be on with Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz and Mike Mulligan. I'll be on reporting live from Soldier Field at about 1:40. So I'll be able to tell you who's playing, who's not playing, what's the very latest. So I'm looking forward to jumping on with those guys like I always do.
And Mark Rohde is your first word in sports. The Daily Report airs every morning. get the Daily Report, the first word in sports, from Mark Grody.
Again, you almost got it right. Almost, you're so close, man.
The Daily Score?
The Daily Score,
but it's
yes.
a Daily Report. Okay,
it is a Daily Report, but you got to say the name right. It's the Daily Score.
Well, if I can't get Eddie Vedder's songs right.
That's true. What did you say?
I can't get Eddie
he's
Vedder's.
Alive, yeah, I'm alive. I'm alive. We're all alive.
Drive alive. All right, Mark.
Hey, happy Hanukkah, buddy. I hope that you and your family are doing well. It's always good to talk to you, man.
We are, you too. And Gene and Gary Grody and all the rest of the Grodys and your niece, especially the one who imitates you and makes you uncomfortable by doing that.
Yes. Oh, yes. And she will be the one who I promise will have like multiple gifts for Dave the Cat. Or at least I assume she will. I guess I shouldn't assume that necessarily, but she always does.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Mark.
Bye,
happy
Steve.
Holidays. All right. As Mark was saying, let me alert you to this broadcasting note, epic broadcasting note. Before Chicago takes on Arizona, tune in tomorrow from 12 to 3 p.m. for the PNC Bank pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by your local Ford dealers and Fox Valley Coins. Join Mully, Olin Krutz, and Patrick Manley as they'll get you set for the game. PNC Bank, official bank of the Bears. Then immediately following the game, we'll have instant reaction from Mully, Olin, and Pat on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. All of it can be heard on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Take a break. When we come back, before the top of the hour, we will talk with Hub Arker, senior NFL analyst, about the quarterback, the coach, the defense. By the way, I got a thought when we come back. Don't call this defense elite. Please don't be that person. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Indeed, the Christmas Eve day show, Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. Top of the hour, I'll talk to Hub Arker. We are senior NFL analyst. Bears playing the Cardinals. And so the good part of what's left from this Bears suckage of a season is some numbers coming from Brad Spielberger of Pro Football Focus. Montez Sweat's last three games, 20.6% pass rush win rate. That's 10th in the NFL. 21.6% pressure rate. That's 4th. 20 total pressures, 5 sacks, 2 quarterback hits, 4 stops against the run. And now comes this note about Sweat and Matt Eberchoke's defense from Jason Leiser of the Sun-Times today. Sweat had 2.5 sacks against the Browns, but the Bears didn't get any other sacks unless they blitzed. So Montez Sweat himself is not as good as not good enough to beat a 38-year-old Joe Flacco just getting off his couch. And neither is the rest of the Bears defense. Talk about suckage. This whole line of thinking that Matt Eberchoke has his defense playing elite. In my world, elite defenses don't choke like that. Joe Flacco is 38. He just got off his couch and he torched that supposedly elite Bears defense, and by the way, pantsed Fields and Getsy and everybody who thinks the interim quarterback and interim offensive coordinator should stay. Flacco's fourth quarter, 11 of 13 passes for 212 yards, a touchdown against this elite Bears defense for a passer rating of 144.4. That is the most passing yards in the fourth quarter in the NFL this season against that elite defense.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Oh. Don't tell me about Eberchoke reviving this defense or Ryan Poles making it, getting the personnel to make it elite. It's better with Montez Sweat. 38-year-old gets off his couch and pantses your defense like this, torches you guys. It's a last place schedule the Bears are playing. And they still can't play a complete game on any regular basis. All this talk about how they were, we think we can win all 5. You can't beat a 38-year-old quarterback. He got off his couch and he just torched you for The most yards in the fourth quarter, come back, and you guys couldn't do it. Your offense sucks. Your defense is not as good as you think. This reminds me of hearing George McCaskey and Ted Phillips talk about how Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy were going to be all about collaboration, and that there's the key. And their culture was great. Doesn't this sound the same? Doesn't this reverberate with Matt Eberchoke and what this defense collaborate? It's Saturday suckage is what it is. Don't be that person who says that Bears defense is elite or becoming elite. It's against a last place schedule and they can't finish. Elite defenses finish. Sit down and shut up.
Yeah, that's. I'm not going to comment on that.
You don't have to. Your work speaks for itself, and it will be on the way out at the end of the season. All right, I will take a break. I'll come back. We will bring you Hubbard, senior NFL analyst for The Score. We are Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Indeed, the Christmas Eve day show. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. Top of the hour, talk to Hubbard. We are senior NFL analyst. Bears playing the Cardinals. And so the good part of what's left from this Bears suckage of a season is some numbers coming from Brad Spielberger of Pro Football Focus. Montez Sweat's last three games, 20.6% pass rush win rate. That's 10th in the NFL. 21.6% pressure rate. That's 4th. 20 total pressures. 5 sacks, 2 quarterback hits, 4 stops against the run. And now comes this note about Sweat and Matt Eberchoke's defense from Jason Leeser of the Sun-Times today. Sweat had 2.5 sacks against the Browns, but the Bears didn't get any other sacks unless they blitzed. So Montez Sweat himself is not as good as not good enough to beat a 38-year-old Joe Flacco just getting off his couch. And neither is the rest of the Bears defense. Talk about suckage. This whole line of thinking that Matt Eberchoke has his defense playing elite. In my world, elite defenses don't choke like that. Joe Flacco is 38. He just got off his couch, and he torched that supposedly elite Bears defense, and by the way, pantsed Fields and Getsy and everybody who thinks the interim quarterback and interim offensive coordinator should stay. Flacco's fourth quarter, 11 of 13 passes for 212 yards, a touchdown against this elite Bears defense for a passer rating of 144.4. 6.4. That is the most passing yards in the fourth quarter in the NFL this season against that elite defense.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Don't tell me about Eberchoke reviving this defense or Ryan Poles making it, getting the personnel to make it elite. It's better with Montez Sweat. 38-year-old gets off his couch and pantses your defense like this, torches you guys. It's a last place schedule the Bears are playing. And they still can't play a complete game on any regular basis. All this talk about how they were, we think we can win all five. You can't beat a 38-year-old quarterback. He got off his couch and he just torched you for the most yards in the fourth quarter. Come back, come back, come back. And you guys couldn't do it. Your offense sucks. Your defense is not as good as you think. This reminds me of hearing George McCaskey and Ted Phillips talk about how Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy were going to be all about collaboration, 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 and that there's the key. And their culture was great. Doesn't this sound the same? Doesn't this reverberate with Matt Eberchoke and what this defense elite, defense collaborate, collaborate? It just, it's Saturday suckage is what it is. Don't be that person who says that Bears defense is elite or becoming elite. It's against a last place schedule and they can't finish. Elite defenses finish. Sit down and shut up.
Yeah, that's, I'm not going to comment on that.
You don't have to. Your work speaks for itself, and it will be on the way out at the end of the season. All right, I will take a break. I'll come back. We will bring you Hubbard, senior NFL analyst for The Score. We are Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.